This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Thursday, November 29th, 2012. Investigators have determined that Dylan Redwine did not run away. The 13-year-old boy has been missing for more than a week. According to the Durango Herald, on Wednesday, La Plata County Sheriff's Office spokesman Dan Bender attributed that conclusion to a combination of factors, including the passage of time without any sightings, no contact with friends or family, though Dylan has a history of staying in contact with his family and friends, and no activity on his cell phone since he was reported missing. After divers searched unsuccessfully for the boy in the Vallecito Reservoir earlier this week, three canines have returned to the Vallecito area to do ground searches. Investigators have determined that a fishing pole found on the Vallecito Dam has no connection with Dylan. In addition, more than 20 investigators and officers from multiple agencies are continuing door-to-door canvassing of the Vallecito Lake area in search for more information. Bender says they're still viewing the case as a search and not a recovery effort. Investigators are asking the general public to submit any recreational video footage that includes vehicles traveling on main routes between Durango and Vallecito Lake, taken between 6 p.m. on Sunday, November 18th, through noon on Monday, November 19th. Those with video can call dispatch at 970-385-2900. A tip line has also been set up specifically for the Dylan Redwine search at 970-382-7511. A Palisade mother has admitted to Mesa County Sheriff's investigators she left her toddler son alone in her vehicle, her toddler son's, alone in her vehicle with its engine running for approximately 90 minutes Tuesday night near Powderhorn Mountain Resort while she met with a man. This according to records obtained by the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel. According to the Mesa County Sheriff's Office, 24-year-old Heather Jensen initially told deputies at the scene she had left her boys in the car for only 10 minutes while she stood outside the car. Jensen called 911 after finding her 2-year-old boy, William, was unconscious, not breathing, and had no pulse, and 4-year-old Tyler was breathing but gurgling with every breath. William was pronounced dead at the scene. Tyler was flown to St. Mary's Hospital before being transferred to Children's Hospital in Denver, where he remained in critical condition through Wednesday. This investigation comes in the wake of the death of Jensen's husband, Eric, who died in a 2-car accident October 10th in Garfield County. A state task force is forming to iron out the challenges of new marijuana regulations. The group will meet before lawmakers convene in January for the legislative session. Benta Berklin has more from the state capitol.
Governor John Hickenlooper is putting the task force together. His office says the goal is to help guide lawmakers and state agencies. Voters approved Amendment 64 during the November 6th election. It legalizes possession of small amounts of marijuana and requires lawmakers to create new rules for operating and licensing commercial marijuana stores. In a written statement, the governor's office says there's a lot of legal and procedural hurdles moving forward. Marijuana is still illegal at the federal level. Colorado's rules must be in effect by next summer. I'm Benta Berklund at the state capitol.
In a related story, Delta's city council plans to adopt an emergency ordinance imposing a moratorium on marijuana businesses within city limits at their next meeting. The Delta County Independent reports that the move is in response to the passage of Amendment 64, legalizing recreational marijuana in the state. After the law goes into effect, the state has until July to create regulations governing businesses that will sell marijuana. Like many towns on the Western Slope, Delta already prohibits medical marijuana dispensaries. The DCI reports that council members decided to impose a 9-month moratorium while they see how the state and other communities handle the issue. Several law enforcement agencies on the Front Range have decided to stop prosecuting cases against people 21 or older for marijuana possession of less than an ounce. Delta Montrose Electric Association has decided not to increase rates for now. The Montrose Daily Press reports that the Electric Cooperatives Board passed their 2013 budget on Tuesday without a rate increase. but they will continue to look at how cost increases from their main power supplier, Tri-State, will affect their bottom line. They'll also be looking at cost savings from their South Canal hydropower project, estimated to be completed next summer. The press reports that the board has given itself the option of increasing rates mid-year in 2013, depending upon how the costs play out. DMEA already increased rates this year following an increase of nearly 5% from Tri-State. Before that, the co-op had not increased rates in several years. In October, Tri-State announced another 5% increase to its members, which amounts to about $2 million for DMEA. By contrast, San Miguel Power Association recently announced that it will likely be increasing rates starting the first of the year. They're facing the same 5% cost increase from Tri-State. The Watch reports that San Miguel Power Association General Manager Kevin Ritter says people are using less energy while expenses continue to increase. San Miguel Power absorbed last year's rate increase from Tri-State through increases in the co-op's access charge. The new increase, which has not yet been approved, will be split between the energy charge and access charge members see on their bill each month. The Watch reports that San Miguel Power's Board of Directors will hold an informational hearing on the rate increase before their next meeting on Tuesday, December 18th at their Ridgeway office. They are expected to make a final decision on the new rates at that meeting. The Cedar Edge Bruins won their first state football title on Saturday. KVNF sports reporter Tammy Meck traveled to Buena Vista for the championship game and has this report.
The last time the Bruins played in a championship football game was in 1994 when they placed second to Class 2A Rye High School. Team records date back as far as the 1920s. But on Saturday, Cedar Edge made history, claiming the state 1A football championship with an 18-16 win against the undefeated, number one ranked Buena Vista Demons. The sideline swarmed with fans dressed in Bruin blue. Junior running back Reed Gates, who had 11 carries for 29 yards and one touchdown, was caught up in the celebration.
This has been the end goal this whole time. I mean, this is the goal. This is what we're looking for. So it's nice to get it. But this is above and beyond. This is awesome.
The team waited all week to hear if senior starting quarterback Dante Markley would suit up. Markley missed the semifinal game against Hotchkiss due to a concussion and, as of Friday, hadn't been cleared to play. Junior running back Trent Walker filled in for Markley against Hotchkiss and was prepared to play on Saturday. Markley was released just hours before the game. Rather than choose a starting quarterback, head coach Brandon Milholland made a last-minute decision to use both players.
I think Trent and Dante both did a great job with that. We just had certain things that we knew we could do well with Trent, trying to play to his strengths, and then the same thing with Dante there. So it was awesome to see Dante back, you know, to play in his last game as a senior.
Buena Vista had a 12-0 record and was favored to win, but the Bruins set the tone, containing one of the highest scoring running backs in the state and holding the Demons to 3-and-out on their game-opening possession. Then they did something that no team has done all season. The Bruins scored on their opening drive against a Demon defense that has allowed only 66 points all season. The 72-yard drive ended on a 1-yard touchdown run by senior Carter Wasser. Gates scored on a 3-yard run late in the second period, and the Bruins led 12-0 at the halftime. Senior lineman Dustin Strasner says the team knew it was too early to celebrate.
At halftime, we just knew we couldn't get complacent. That they were a second-half team. They come out firing all the time in the second half. That's when they scored most of their points. So we just knew that we had to come out and just keep playing our game, keep playing our defense, and we had them.
The Demons broke onto the scoreboard with a safety in the third period. With the score still at 12-2 and with less than 5 minutes left in the game, the Demons put up a 7-point combination to trail by 3 points. With just over 2 minutes left in the game, Markley pitched the ball to Carter Wasser for an 8-yard touchdown run and an 18-9 lead. Less than 30 seconds later, Demon quarterback Kobe Close connected on a 50-yard touchdown pass, and the Demons trailed by 2 after the extra point kick. Buena Vista attempted an onside kick, but Carter Wasser recovered the ball, and the Bruins were able to run out the clock. Stroessner, one of six Bruins seniors, credited the win to all of his teammates.
We are a team. We come together. We feed off of each other. We feed off of each other's good plays. We bring each other up. We don't bring each other down. We're a brotherhood, a true brotherhood. Feels great. That's all you can say about it. It feels great.
Mill Holland praised his coaching staff and says he can't say enough about each and every player.
It's a total team effort, and we knew that's exactly what it would take to come in here and beat Buena Vista.
Looking ahead to next season, Mill Holland says it's going to be tough replacing six seniors, but with a 12-1 record and a state championship under their belts, it looks pretty promising. For KVNF News, I'm Tammy Meck.
Congratulations to the Cedar Edge Bruins. And finally, as KVNF has reported, the Bureau of Land Management is planning to offer about 21,000 acres in the North Fork Valley for oil and gas drilling at their lease sale in February. Next week, Citizens for a Healthy Community and the Anfria Wizirk Conservation Center will host a public meeting to provide more information on the proposed February 2013 lease sale. This is not a public hearing sponsored by the BLM. The meeting will be held at the Paonia Junior High School gym from 6 until 8 p.m. on Wednesday, December 5th. Thus concludes the newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.